Hello and welcome to another edition of Crafting the Short Story. This is episode 8. Today I have a guest with me. This is Judy, who is also in one of our previous podcasts. And Judy is not only in my weekly writers group, as well as we have a bi-weekly and a monthly one that she's a member of as well, but also has had a lot of experience with online peer review. And what we're going to be talking about is online peer review compared with in-person peer review, like a writing group. So besides just the logistical differences, what do you think, Judy, about like the difference between the two? And obviously we'll get into, you know, which do you prefer, which is better? Maybe one is better for this and one is better for another thing. But what are some of the fundamental differences that you found in having both the online review, and you can talk about what you've put on there and where you go compared to the in-person peer review?
For me, I can find both to be very valuable, although at times each can be skewed. For instance, there's usually some reward for a person doing an online reward. He gets karma points, something. And there are people who are doing it strictly for the points, and they really don't care about what they're critiquing. So the critiques are basically very surface, very glib, very, I've got enough to get my points, I'm done here.
Okay. I know with Scribifile in particular, and that's the one that that we both have tried out, and mm-hmm. and Judy has spent a little more time in the forums and has submitted a novel length work in completion serialized on there. So while I've actually been on in a longer amount of time, she spent more time on there based on her reputation and karma points, etc. Do you feel that because the karma points in Scribifile in particular are based on the length of a critique, that do critiques, do you find in the being a little fluffier?
Again, there are some that are, but then there are people on there who are very dedicated and committed to helping other writers become better writers. And so, yeah, you have some of each. You have some which are strictly done to get to a certain word length. And I even had one person who, once they got to that word length, even though they were only halfway through the story, they were done.
Oh, yeah. Actually, yeah, I think I've had that before, too. Yeah, so especially if it's a longer story, they're like, well, I'm good. And I sometimes I'll even have them, you know, add several words as well in explanation of that and saying, oh, well, that's, I didn't really get into this. Maybe I'll get into something later and check something else out. But thanks for sharing anyway. And you just know that they probably just hit their word length. So whatever goal, because on Scribifile, you can also give bonus karma. So maybe it's 300 words and you get an extra karma point in there at 300 and say, okay, well, take care. This didn't quite keep my attention or something like that. Maybe you can speak particularly too about, because I think this is very important, about putting a full-length work on there, chapterized, because that is something that if you were to go on Scribifile, and I would argue it's probably the same on other peer review places. I've not been on Wattpad really, but I've been on Lit Reactor. And I think on Scrib in particular, you end up having a lot of novelists on there who are trying to or who aim to put their entire work on there. And I would say that not just the majority, but the vast majority of them don't end up posting their entire work, not necessarily because it's not done, but because they're not getting the kind of buy-in or feedback or whatever that they were expecting to get. Now, you have feedback on every chapter of a work, right? You have a full work on there, and every chapter of that work got feedback. So what did you find that it took in order to get that, had to make that happen?
When I started posting, I had posted other things, so there were people who kind of, I guess you would call, following me to start with.
Right.
And then some of them would mention in some of the, they have groups that you can join to go look at my
story. Yeah, specific to genre or something like that.
So I ended up having a group of about 5 people who pretty much read every chapter, and then with drop-ins from time to time. But there were really only about five people who followed it completely from end to end, and the others were people who
just drop in every now and then.
Read a paragraph or whatever. Chapter, okay. I mean, or whatever.
Now, in order to get those five people to do it, were they just intrinsically motivated? Maybe they liked the story, they wanted to do it? Or was it quid pro quo where you were also reading and critiquing, you know, whether their whole work or whether at least a substantial bit of what they had posted?
For three of them, they were also writing novels. And so essentially I critiqued every chapter they brought out also. One of the other women had never posted yet. She was a really good critiquer, but she had never posted, period. And then another person, she put on things periodically, but wasn't writing a novel. So she would critique about five chapters for every story of hers I would critique.
I will say, and staying with talking about online peer review, and then we can move on to the juxtaposition where it's in-person peer review. But the interesting thing that I had happen in publishing chapters of my young adult novel, and I don't think I posted every one. I think I did exactly half, actually, and got critiques on those. It's not like I had pieces that were out there not getting any critiques. But I would have someone hang on, not being a part of a group, mind you, but just at random, and they would hang in there for usually 3 to 4 chapters, and those chapters being about 2,500 to 3,500 words. So it didn't matter how much I liked them or how much I tried to incentivize them or even how much I was giving back in terms of reviewing their own work. They just came in and came out and just had to say, okay, you know, thanks, and thanks for hanging out as long as you did. But, you know, I had one girl on there, actually, who her critiques were typically more words than the words were in the chapter. And it was crazy specific and very developmental as well as line editing. I was just like, how can I get you to do the rest? She only had one short story posted. So I certainly wasn't going to pay her back in terms of critique for critique, even though I gladly would have. But I even went to the point where I was emailing her and saying, I'll give you money. Like, you're that good of an editor. And, you know, she says, well, I'm just really busy and maybe I'll get on again at some point. Maybe I won't. So it was kind of unfortunate, but I can see the good point of that too, because you had some and they would maybe set you on a certain path for your rewrite. And they read 3 or 4 chapters and they at least know enough to maybe contribute. You get to learn what their viewpoint is, where they're coming from, and then they're gone. Again, it would have been nice to have what you had, where, you know, let's say the five people consistently, but it was interesting. And I did actually meet someone on there who was just not necessarily drawn to the way that it worked online, but who then wrote me and said, hey, do you want to just do this entire thing offline? Well, still online, but off script, let's say. And it's just, you know, you send me your whole novel, I send you the whole novel, and we go kind of chapter to chapter, not really worried so much about schedule, etc. But and it's working. We're still going through it. I'm about probably a third of the way through his, and he's a little bit more through mine. Again, he's not keeping score or anything like that. And it's a little different doing word track changes than it is using the Scribifile engine. In some place like Lit Reactor, actually just benefits itself from words track changes features. But what do you think that means? So far as, let's say, the comparison between online and in-person, do you think that there's a difference in, I don't know, honesty of critique, the what you find to be the value of the critique, not necessarily, you know, absolutely, but relatively speaking?
Well, I think with something like Scribifile or an online critique group, people are coming in from all over the world, not even just the United States. They have a tremendous amount of interest. You don't know what's going on in their life besides what shows up on that. So you get some excellent critiques, and like you said, you get some that are really, where they really haven't spent any time on it, or they aren't sophisticated enough. When you go through and read the writings, you see some fantastic writing on Scrib, and you also see some where you say, okay, this person's just kind of beginning here.
Sure.
And I've gone on into, like, some, when I first started on Scrib, I went into some of the people who had been in for a long, long time, and they were putting out their works, and I went in and I critiqued one, and man, did that person send me an earful.
Oh.
Because I kept track of them for a while after that, and they had the same five or six people who were critiquing their works, and they basically were all totally positive.
Oh, yeah, so they wanted kind of an echo chamber.
Yeah, so this was a group they put together, that they had become friends on the Scribble File, and it was a very narrow group, and essentially, I don't even think they were really trying to get better. I think they just wanted somebody to like what they were writing.
They have a bobblehead peer review. Mm-hmm. So the thing is, and I should weigh in because I believe that LitReact works the same way. I know Scrib does. Is that those kind of people, you would kind of hope that they would use the technology available to them and make things private to where no one sees something, no one's invited to anything. And if you want your little, you know, group of friends who are just going to bob their heads and say, yeah, that's neat, just so you'd say that mine's neat, then you can keep it out of any kind of public visibility.
For a lot of writers, I think posting on Scrib is as close to publishing as they'll get.
Sure.
Yeah. So I think they like the idea of having a lot of people able to see it.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
And,
right.
And whether they become part of their love group, it doesn't matter, but...
Yeah. Yeah, I've even seen some on there actually, and this is just sort of maybe one of those freakish things about online peer review is... As much of it, especially, I think you get what you put in, and you can find very quickly any level of seriousness, depending upon what you're looking for. But you can also find, like, sort of what you're saying, is that someone is almost treating it like, this is my writing platform. This is my portfolio. This is a portfolio of my works. And I've even gone so far as to see works that are still in the first couple of chapters, where they have... author of, you know, The Doorway or whatever book, and they even have a book cover, and and they'll even admit, okay, well, yeah, I'm almost done with chapter two, and I'm about to put chapter two on here. So is like, is the end iteration of this going to be that you have all 20 of your chapters on a peer review site for people to look at, and or are you actually thinking that, you know, this will go on and be published? Who knows? So now, what do you think about in person, you know, as it compares? Because obviously, with in person, you're going to have, it's not that you can't get kind of click off and become a group of like-minded people online, but it's almost bound to happen with any group that you have in real life over amount of time, unless you have like a really large group or a group that is that changes a lot. You inevitably start to get a lot of familiarity, et cetera. And that could be good or bad. It could just affirm, but it could also mean that the person then feels comfortable enough to critique harder.
I think it depends on essentially the professionalism of the group. In other words, what are their goals? I've been in so many writers groups. I mean, tons. And one writers group I joined, most of the writers in that group were published writers. One had done two nonfiction biography type books, you know. I think it was Louisa May Alcott, she did them. Anyway, and so they were quite professional, but at the same time, they were limited. And I found I started writing to please the group rather than writing my stories.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I finally realized that I didn't want to be writing that, but I knew they would like that, so I wrote it.
Yeah.
That I left that group. And I've been in other groups where they ended up in, like, cat fights over some of the things. And some in which, again, this became kind of a coffee clatch, and there wasn't really any growth from the people in it.
Sure.
It was just a forum.
Yeah.
So.
And that's probably, speaking from my own experience, that's what I found, like, in Phoenix. When I was in Phoenix, that was the weekly group where, you know, I so look forward to our weekly meetings. I mean, that's, you know, I talked about, you know, preparing on Friday nights instead of whatever people do on Friday nights, even though parents don't do a whole bunch on Friday night. These I would almost find myself dreading, and maybe I'm just going to take something along that's already been, you know, critiqued before, or maybe it's not going anywhere. But because it was just a group of friends who were just kind of, we have something to do, and here we go. And then I've been in others. Like, I did find some pretty good experience in ones run by MFA students at local colleges. Those weren't bad. As now, you know, it depended on the student, certainly. They could really set a certain tone. But even when you saw familiar faces, the fact that it was proctored to at least a small degree, I think, helped. And, you know, there would be certain goals that they would have in mind. But it ended up being that they would, of course, force it to be rather egalitarian, make sure everyone had something considered. And just it being a little bit more structured, it actually felt more like a class than anything else. And I was fine with that. I did that at Arizona State. Probably at least a couple years in a row, and then they would have one per semester. So I think I went to four by four different MFA students. And those, like I said, were pretty good, whereas the other one that I had, not so much. And, you know, we've talked before about, like, obviously, you can be a part of the online peer review process as often as you want, and 3 o'clock in the morning, sure, why not? But that for in-person writing groups, and this, you know, this podcast, not necessarily talking about what would make the best writing group, but I feel that, I don't know, I'm not a fan of once a month. I'm certainly a fan of once a week at the very, if very most, one, you know, once every two. Okay, just about time to wrap up this episode. Do you have any other parting thoughts about the comparison between the two? Which, I mean, obviously you're not terribly active on Scribnow. You're doing, but because you think that's because probably we have rather active in-person groups.
I think that's one, and I think in this particular group, if you have people in the group who are very sensitive about getting critique, then you tend to back off, and it does become, again, a nice because you don't want to hurt their feelings.
Right.
But in this particular group, the people handle criticism, I think, quite well. And we have people of different levels of writing, and I think we pretty much tailor our critiques to the level they're at. And I think that with the people who are really professional, yourself, for instance, that I can be harsh in certain times because
sure,
your writing is outstanding, and so therefore, when something isn't up to your usual standards, I don't have a problem saying, look, I don't think this, and then saying what bothers me about it.
Yeah, well, thank you. Yeah. Yeah, and that's really, I mean, ultimately is what's going to be most beneficial. And yeah, you do have to have that comfort level with a group because you're almost automatically going to have that with strangers in a online peer review forum. That you could say is one of the good things is they probably don't know you to the degree where they can offer anything that's super helpful, and anything serialized, you're always going to come across saying, well, you haven't considered this, and like, well, you didn't read my other 12 chapters, you know, or something. So you're always going to come across that. But at least with the absolute stranger giving some sort of online peer review, you will often get at least a degree of honesty. Like, I mean, they're going to be, you know, most of them at least, going to be nice, but hopefully they're also going to be honest because they're not going to be, you know, concerned whether they're trumping on your feelings necessarily or something. So I still, admittedly, in online peer review, end up using a whole lot of very specific phrases that are meant specifically so that nothing hurts their feelings, but that's just my habit, which is you might want to change this or think about doing this as opposed to change this, it's not right, or, you know, whatever. So, and that's more
like
a method than anything.
Telling people to change things. I like saying, perhaps you might want to consider something slightly different rather than saying change this.
Oh, sure. Yeah. That's obviously a little too curt for an absolute stranger. You know, it's just like a stranger saying, you need to, ooh, Those are three awful words when it comes when it comes to writing it from someone who hasn't been vetted. But well, thank you very much for your time. Again, that's Judy DeGeorge. I said your last name correctly, right? All right, so catch us next time. In the meantime, check out DarrenTodd.net for a few other resources and to subscribe to the podcast.